Having a rather sad life, I have to admit one of my favourite TV programs is the US prison series Oz. The setting of this series is a fictional prison called Oz, short for the Oswald State Penitentiary. Within this facility is a special section called Emerald City. I'll return to Oz in a minute or two. A recent ABC Four Corners program was about the way Telstra treats its workers. I've known quite a few PMG, Telecom and now Telstra workers in my time, and the one thing that stands out about them all is the pride they take in their work. Unfortunately, their bosses don't hold to the same customer focus as the rest of the frontline staff. As you well know, our government decided to flog off what is, perhaps, the biggest piece of integrated infrastructure in the country. In working towards that end, they employed a bunch of Americans. The top few of these, when one does a background check, are credited with grinding into the dust at least one US telco and sending thousands of employees and customers to the wall. Their belligerent and money-focused rhetoric demonstrate that their concerns are with money and not providing the highest quality service. Rather than focus on success, they are totally focused on getting rich, quick. During the Four Corners program, we hear about the ways in which call centre and other staff are monitored for performance, and how they are pressured not to focus on solving a customer's problems, but selling them something or doing a quick fix, rather than actually diagnosing the underlying causes of the problem. We also heard about the suicides caused by the stress brought on by Telstra staff having to comply with the central demands of the money-grubbing bosses. Technology has made tremendous leaps, so much so that people can now be remotely monitored without really being sure they are being watched. In short, their bosses adhere to that long-held tradition that people are inherently bad and need to be disciplined and punished if they don't meet performance targets. This brings me back to Oz. In the TV series, the Emerald City facility within the toughest prison in the US was set up as a model correctional facility in which the layout was very reminiscent of Jeremy Bentham's Panopticon. The Panopticon was first envisaged as a way to arrange a prison. A central guard tower was surrounded but separated from a circular arrangement of cells. The cells had windows on the outside and inside walls, and the layout meant that inmates could not communicate with each other, but could be viewed at all times by a guard in the central tower. This is what Michel Foucault had to say about the way these panopticons worked. Quote, "The major effect of the panopticon was to induce in the inmate a sense of conscious and permanent visibility that assures the automatic functioning of power. So to arrange things that the surveillance is permanent in its effect, even if it is discontinuous in its action. That the perfection of power should tend to render its actual exercise unnecessary. That this architectural apparatus should be a machine for creating and sustaining a power relation independent of the person who exercises it. In short, that the inmates should be caught up in a power situation of which they themselves are the bearers. To achieve this, it is at once too much and too little that the prisoner should be constantly observed by an inspector. Too little, for what matters is that he knows himself to be observed. Too much, because he has no need of in fact being so." In view of this, Bentham laid down the principle that power should be visible and unverifiable. Visible. The inmate will constantly have before his eyes the tall outline of the central tower from which he is spied upon. Unverifiable. The inmate must never know whether he is being looked at any one moment, but he must be sure that he may always be so. In order to make the presence or absence of the inspector unverifiable, so that the prisoners in their cells cannot even see a shadow, the central tower should be arranged in such a way that the slightest noise, a gleam of light, a brightness in a half-open door could never be seen, because this would betray the presence of the guardian. The panopticon is a machine for dissociating the see-being-seen dyad. In the peripheric ring, one is totally seen without ever seeing. In the central tower, one sees everything without ever being seen." Unquote. What Foucault was getting at was fully understood by Bentham, but it was Bentham who articulated one of the main factors driving the development of such a machine: money. Bentham wanted to sell his idea to the British government and put it to them that if they funded the construction, he would take over the management. He told a committee for the reform of criminal law, "I will be the jailer. You will see that the jailer will have no salary. It will cost nothing to the nation." He also told them that any profit made would be his to keep. Does this sound familiar? The beauty of the Panopticon was that no individual would know if they were really being monitored or at what time they were being monitored, but would come to believe that their every move was being watched. Foucault argued that under this constant state of surveillance, people would begin to regulate themselves, and that rather than having to pay someone to stand over them exercising direct power, individuals would begin to regulate their behaviour to conform to the expectations of the central power. In the capitalist model, this means you can sack middle management, the usual enforcers of the corporate line, and replace them with surveillance technology to make sure your employees stay in line. Up go the profits, but down goes morale. You see, the people who work under the direction of Sol Trujillo, Phil Burgess and Greg Wynne are not prisoners, but free people. However, if it's good enough for Kevin Rudd to sack tough-talking union bosses from the Labour Party, the question is, will Sol sack one of his mates who views his employees as target practice? In the Four Corners program, it was revealed that Telstra's chief operations manager, Greg Wynne, told a meeting of fellow managers, quote, "We're not running a democracy. We don't manage by consensus. We're criticised for it, but the fact of the matter is we run an absolute dictatorship. If you can't get people to go where you want, you try once and you try twice, which is sometimes hard for me, but I do believe in a second chance. Then you just shoot them and get them out of the way, you know, and put people in that you can teach the new business process to and drive on." Shoot them and drive on. Telstra's top management see themselves like the Oz warden Leo Glynn. He only sees good and bad, and no matter how hard he tries, he believes that all his inmates are bad, bad, bad. His foil is the Emerald City director, Tim McManus, who somewhat idealistically believes that all people are good, but get corrupted by the system. Warden Glynn would rather shoot all the inmates because that would make his job so much easier. McManus, on the other hand, would rather see power dispersed and set up the conditions under which the inmates would regulate their own behaviour. Telstra was once ours. It is now theirs. The unfortunate thing is that in the quest to perfect power, accumulate wealth, and control the actions of free men and women, the constant surveillance imposed by the Panopticon-like structures imposed by Telstra's bosses and sanctioned by our government does not bode well for any of us. I'm Shane Elson. This is the Public First program.